morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 26th of October, Anno Domini 2008. And you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Chris Reich.
And Steve Ray is somewhere to be found.
MIA. Steve Ray is MIA.
Yeah, he'll be here shortly.
He'll be here. He won't be here. I guess those are the two choices. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
We're going to be bringing you all kinds of news and stuff. I really should have started out the show with good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America.
Yeah.
Because this is the pre-Halloween show. Oh, before we do anything else, we do need to remind everybody
yes.
that this Friday, which is Halloween, in Second Life, for those of you who join us there, we will be having, we'll be starting a little late. Instead of at 9, we're going to start at about 9:30 just to make sure.
Because it is Halloween, and we want to make sure, you know, the folks don't miss out. Because me, personally, I love watching the kids all come running up the steps and that,
oh, yeah.
and the various costumes and that. So by 9:30, most kids are done.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll be doing that, and we'll start a little late, and since it is Halloween, we suggest that everyone come in costume.
Yep.
And I think that would be fun. I have a costume that I can only say, thank God there is no real murder in Second Life, or my avatar would be dead.
Well, there's scripts for that. I mean, you can yes. blow up.
But you can come back to life.
Yeah, oh yeah, you know, it's just a... like a phantom or particles. And that
yeah,
that.
Trust me.
I can't wait to see this. But we should also mention, though, like you said, there's going to be a contest.
Yes, there is.
And we are going to pay out. It's Linden dollars, of course, but it's going to be 100 Linden dollars for first place, 50 for second, and 25 for third.
And Dave is sponsoring yep. that. God yep. bless him. So we'll be having the contest. You can read about it on our island on Second Life.
Right at the landing zone, I've got the right in front of our board that normally tells who's on, you, I, or Steve. I've got the whole thing about it, that we're starting it at 9:30, that it's a costume. Come, and when you get to the island, set it to midnight.
Right.
Everything's going to be done in the midnight mode, and it's very easy to do. You just go up to world and environment. I put the thing there and just set it to midnight.
Right. So yeah, I think we're going to have some fun this Friday in Second Life.
So yeah, you don't want to miss that. So if you haven't checked out, and you still have the big year going.
Right.
Just in case, you should explain to folks just a little bit about that, in case some folks can't get into Second Life because they just don't have the graphics capabilities.
Right. There are a lot of folks out there who can't do Second Life or don't want to do Second Life, but they'd love to join in what we do. I've created a thing called the big year, and what that does is... anything that gets typed in Second Life, I haven't done voice. I can't figure out voice yet. But anything that gets typed in Second Life goes to a web page. And that web page is listed on the website. I think it's soundbites.org/SL/capital B capital E capital W E B.php, big ear web. And what happens is you go there, you put in any username you want. Keep it clean. And, you know, make it something we'll recognize. And you can follow along the conversation. Every couple of seconds, the page will refresh with whatever's been typed in Second Life. And then if you have a question, you type it into the box and hit send, and it will send it to us, and we'll see it in Second Life, and then we'll type the answer back to you. So it gives those of you who are not actually able or willing to do Second Life the opportunity to join in our discussions there as well. Like I said, we don't do voice, and because I can't figure out voice for the Linux machine anyway. I want to start a new, like there's officers and a new rank in Soundbites,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to call it Linux users, and the thing that shows up above your head
yeah.
is going to say, using Linux, can't hear, can't talk.
Yeah, you can start a new group.
I will. I intend to.
Cost you 100 Linux.
No, I don't want to start a group. I want to start an officership, like an officer or
a ranking
inside the Soundbites
yeah.
group. I can do that. I just didn't do it last night.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to do. Anyway,
wait a minute. No.
Right, the cast system.
Well, we're talking about Second Life.
Oh, yeah?
we were talking about it Friday night. And, you know, this was on the news. A woman in Japan has been arrested for suspicion of hacking after she allegedly killed her online husband's digital personal. After it divorced her online digital persona in a virtual game. AP reported officials said that she used his identity and password to log on to the interactive game, Maple Story, to carry out the virtual murder in mid-May. The woman has not plotted any revenge in real world, the officials say, but evidently she's facing criminal charges.
Up to 5 years in jail, up to $5,000 in a fine. But what she got caught for was illegally accessing a computer and manipulating electronic data because she stole his username and password.
And, yes, this not only applies to, you know, Second Life, but that also applies to real life. You know, a lot of folks sit there and say, oh, that's stupid.
But the headlines were misleading because they said she's arrested for killing the icon. No, that's misleading. Read the article and
she was actually fucked. And Maple Story, you've probably never heard of. There are hundreds and hundreds of, they're not all like Second Life. This is actually a lot more like the old Atari games. It's a 2D thing. It's a side scroller.
Oh, yeah.
But it does work. It's actually kind of cool. There are dozens and hundreds of these things. There's the something hotel, Habbo Hotel. Is one of the biggest ones in the world over in Asia. It's pretty astonishing, actually. And so we see what we see here, but there's stuff going on all over the place. But yeah, that woman was actually jailed for.
But it's a serious thing, and folks don't take it. You know, I mean, even within spousals, you know, it's still hacking. And whether it's in Second Life,
whether you like it or not, it's against the law.
Yeah, it is. It is what it is.
Yep. The big news this week, of course, Microsoft had an out-of-cycle patch, which is pretty astonishing. With hackers at the door, Microsoft released a critical security fix for a remote code execution flaw in the server service. The vulnerability is caused by the server service failing to properly handle specially crafted RPC, or remote procedure call, requests. The server service provides RPC support, file and print support, and named pipe sharing over the network. So if you, in fact, connect to the internet and you have any of those things turned on, file or print sharing, named pipes, or RPC support, which you pretty much have to get on the internet,
right. You're
vulnerable. According to Microsoft, attackers have already begun limited, targeted attacks to exploit the vulnerability. If successful, an attacker could take control of a compromised system. In addition to the patch, Microsoft officials confirmed the attack can be blocked using the Windows firewall, which in an out-of-the-box scenario does block the hacker from reaching the RPC interface. The problem, of course, is that many people turn off the firewall, and when they say in an out-of-the-box scenario, that depends on what version of Windows you're actually running as to whether or not there's a firewall going on. By the way, this issue does affect every single version of Windows that there ever was ever, and that includes all you 95 and 98 folks. Those of you still using those operating systems are vulnerable. Unfortunately, there is no patch for you.
And there won't be.
And there will never be.
And right now, matter of fact, I just had to tell a client who is running Windows ME, my beloved system.
Yes, indeed.
Well, he had that one and a Windows 98 box. And he had brought me the ME, you know, I can still get Andy Burr to work with that, but I'd say maybe another couple of weeks, and that's going to bail, because Andy Burr now, which was the longest running one to support older operating systems, finally pulled the plug on Windows 98.
Right.
And they are not supporting it. I mean, they can't. I mean, there's already Windows 7 coming up soon, so they'd be supporting Windows 2000, still XP and Vista, and then whatever System 7 winds up being called. So there's four systems. I mean, they can only do so much. And, you know, an old 98 machine, that is over 10 years old.
Yep. So the poll this week is, did you run the Windows update last week? The choices are yes, of course. No, I was waiting to find out what it's for. No, I never update. Can't, I'm still on Windows 98. Wait, Windows has updates? Macintosh forever and the Linux. So far, we've got over 50 votes in the poll, 51 as a matter of fact. Yes, of course, 67% of you make me feel good about that. The Linux is following with 8, Macintosh with 4. No, I was waiting to find out what it's for 2 votes. 2 of you are still on Windows 98. One of you was shocked that Windows 98 has updates. And luckily, none of you said, no, I never update. So please vote in the poll at soundbites.org. When you're done with that, you'll see a little yellow box underneath. If you click on Give Us Your Opinion, it takes you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
Ding. Thank you. I apologize. My voice is not what it should be. That should have been much
it's
deeper.
It's better than last week.
Oh, much, 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 much. Where you can leave an opinion and check out my newsletter and all that other stuff. I do a newsletter that that goes out to folks. You can search. It does tips and tricks and rants and raves and questions and answers and website of the week and those things. And you can search through it all, which is well worth alone the $15 a year that I charge. So I don't know why you're not a member. I don't get that at all. And then come on back to the Soundbite site and check out our forums where some of the strangest individuals on earth actually hang out. So that's our poll, and that's it's all about that patch. Really, seriously, if you haven't updated, you really do need to. You can tell how serious this was that Microsoft didn't wait for their monthly visitor to give it to you. They actually threw an out-of-cycle patch into the works. That's how serious this is.
Well, we probably should point out, too, that Apple issued a patch of their own, well, 2 months ago now, on September 16th, to fix a similar problem with the Apple remote desktop client, the Apple RDC.
Right.
And we're still wondering if Samba, built into Unix, is affected by this, and if Samba's going to release an update, and then when is Apple...
There was an update, actually, quite a while ago for Samba.
And if that has been built into the Apple OS yet.
Now, is all this related to that TCP/IP issue that we talked about several weeks
ago? No, that's a completely different thing.
Completely different. Has that been addressed satisfactorily?
Mostly.
Already? Okay, good.
Yeah, mostly.
The beauty of open source.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, those of you who are AOL users, listen up. As has been previously reported, AOL is shutting down its photo hosting services, AOL Pictures, and Bluestring, and it's also shutting down its online file storage service, xDrive. Everything stored there, listen carefully, everything stored there goes away on December 31st, 2008. Bless you. Photos on AOL Pictures are getting an optional new home in American Greetings Photo Work Service. All those users have to actively sign on to the new service before June 30th, 2009 to rescue their images. The best bet for everyone, sign into your AOL account services before the end of the year. Download your photos or files, at least those of you who don't have bandwidth caps yet. All three services will have bulk downloading available until the end of the year. You can also order archival DVDs for a fee. So they will archive your stuff onto a DVD and send it to you for a fee. That may be the most viable option for those of you with
I was going to say, even with folks that have, say, like Roadrunner or DSL, they offer a service, too, where you can get storage there, and very few folks take advantage of it. So you could probably just transfer it from one to the other.
And Roadrunner's now offering, at least here in Rochester, a new service where you can put your pictures on the television.
Yes.
For grandma and grandpa that don't understand how to use a computer, you go to channel 820 and you can find, which means that all the voyeurs can look at everyone else's pictures.
Right. So they're very public there. xDrive users also, I'm sure, will find a lot of other online storage companies hustling for their business.
And strangely enough, pictures.aol.com says it's currently undergoing important maintenance. Check back in a few hours.
Yeah.
Where we'll then probably say we're going down.
Right.
And this is being recorded essentially 11 o'clock Sunday morning.
Sunday the 26th.
Right.
So what was that drop-dead date?
Eastern Standard Time.
The drop-dead date is December 31st.
So another 2 months.
Of 2008. But your photos don't die until June 30th of 2009. So if you log onto the service, you can move them to PhotoWorks. Now, PhotoWorks is a whole other system. PhotoWorks isn't a bad photo site, but it's not the most contemporary in terms of features. It is part of the American Greetings system, so the service is definitely canted for the creation of printed photo gift items. However, the American Greetings General Manager of Digital Photography, Sally Babcock, said that to sweeten the deal, we are offering customers 50 free prints to migrate and may have some other special offers closer to the holidays. Those of you who use the xDrive, it's a paid service, of course. You get a prorated refund early in 2009. Billing itself will stop as of November 5th, 2008. Regarding the shutdown, AOL said in a statement, although these services have been an important part of our product portfolio for many years, AOL's shift to a web-based, advertising-focused company has caused us to take a close look at the products we offer, and we determined that managing and maintaining these hosted and subscription-based services is not the best long-term interest of our users or our business. Just a lot of blah, 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 which essentially means our shareholders are unhappy with their dividends, and so we're cutting services to give them more money. I'm sorry, was that a little too cynical?
No.
For the cheap seats?
Hey, maybe tell. Cynical, but accurate.
Thank you.
Tell it like it is.
Yep. We have a question.
Depends if you're a user or an investor.
Exactly right. If you're
then
an investor,
both.
That's
yeah.
It's right. You're as right.
All right, yeah, let's dip into the mailbag here for a moment. And one of the questions was, will Security Tango, Let's Dance, work with Windows Vista? I have Roadrunner and using their antivirus software, CA. Thanks, Brian. This is Brian. I don't know where he's from.
No, we don't know where Brian is from.
Nope.
As time has gone on, more and more stuff has begun to work under Vista. I use
How long has Vista been out now?
Yeah, exactly. We still think of it as the brand new operating system because so few people.
And it's soon to be replaced. I've been trying to figure out where version 7 is coming from because we had NT3.
Microsoft?
Right, yeah. We had NT3, NT4. So that means Windows 2000 was NT5.
Yeah.
XP was NT6. Vista's NT7. That means we should be
on
8.
Yeah, but it's Windows 7. So there's Windows, Windows 2.0, Windows 3.0, so Windows 3.1, Windows 95, Windows 98, right. Windows ME, Windows NT, Windows NT.
Right, so then we're up onto 9 or 10 already.
Yeah, I'm at 9 by the time we got to NT, so. Yeah.
It's just a name. Pontiac G6 is a model car.
Generation 6, yeah.
Yeah, probably a think tank somewhere that sat down and said, what number should we use? And they put, you know, and they, yeah. well, 7
lucky
tested
seven.
Good.
Lucky 7's seven. A lucky number, yeah.
Yeah.
Some focus group.
Well, and it's an odd numbered Windows, so.
That should work,
which
right?
Which have generally been pretty
exactly.
It was just like DOS and everything else. It was always the odd numbers that worked the best.
Yep, so that should work, yeah.
But one thing, though, we should probably revisit is down the road is redoing the Tango. Because
we need to.
Because of look at some of the stuff that's on there and the way it's doing, because we should also put in there, in both you and I enjoy it very much, is the other antivirus program called Avast.
I love Avast.
Yeah, there's newer programs that have come
out. It talks to me.
And like I said,
Pirate's database has been updated.
And
now it should do it in a pirate accent.
It should.
And to replace Adware and SpyBot, I found that both Super Anti-Spyware and the Malware Bytes. I'm not saying that the other two aren't still good, but these other two do a better job at it.
Yep. Let's do that. Let's actually send me those things.
We'll sit down and rewrite that, and Lori can redo her checklist.
Yep.
She's been getting a lot of questions on this, too. Well, should I still do this and that? But the bottom line is yes, for the most part, any of the stuff in Vista, you should be able to still run. And one of the other more common questions I get all the time, and I mean, I even get phone calls at the shop, sit there and say, I can't run it in safe mode. It just won't. That's okay. We tell you to run it in safe mode, mainly if you're having issues. And the reason we tell you to do safe mode is, for a lot of reasons, is that a lot of stuff gets loaded in regular Windows. And we're just trying to get it down to the simplest form. In other words, not having all these other things run, Messenger and all this other stuff running in the background, eating up resources, which can sometimes mess things up when it's doing the analyzing of for the spyware. So, but if it'll run all right in regular mode, then go ahead and do it. And you might have a very simple machine that's not loading a lot of stuff, if you're lucky.
Right.
Some folks have to run it in safe mode because they got so much other junk in the startup toolbar.
Right. We should also notice, we might have to now add a section for the Macintosh on Security Tango. There is a fake anti-malware program out for the Mac called Mac Guard. It's a copy of the fake WinGuard anti-malware program. Again, a fake anti-malware program. And currently, we think all it does is steal your $29.95. It doesn't actually download anything. It doesn't do anything to your computer.
Yeah,
they don't steal any more money. They just steal your $29.95. But there's the potential there.
Because the Mac has become popular, too. I mean,
up to 17% market share.
Well, this... there was
31% revenue share.
That's right.
Which is an interesting distinction. Yeah.
Well, they were saying in today's paper, here Halloween is just coming up this week, but most manufacturers can't wait, and shop owners and everything else, to get into the Christmas.
Yeah, it's Christmas.
For the Christmas. Because the day after Halloween, all those displays are coming out. I mean, this is one thing, and I know, Nick, you would remember, I don't know if Steve would, but hasn't been around for years.
Christmas comes up by Labor Day now.
Yeah. No, what I'm talking about is layaway.
Layaway's
stores
back.
Stores are starting to...
Unbelievable.
Starting to offer
There's always
layaway.
Been that little place in the back room where they would do it, but it wasn't that popular, wasn't that advertised, wasn't that needed.
When I was a kid, you're right. When I was a kid, you saw layaway signs everywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're seeing them again.
How about Christmas accounts at the bank?
Yeah.
Open your Christmas account in June, put a buck a week in it.
Yep.
But I mean, more and more places are going to start offering the layaway because, one, to help save money. Folks are conscious that they, you know, these credit cards are nailing them big time for interest. But if a store will let me put it on layaway, so that means they're shopping earlier.
Right.
And, you know, they're going out there and just paying a little bit at a time. It's not as painful. And then they don't have that big bill after the holidays. A number of folks are taking advantage of it. And I think you're going to see more and more of it. But right now they're saying right after Halloween, 40% of the folks will be out there holiday shopping that early.
Wow.
I mean, I can remember it used to be not until the day after Thanksgiving and Macy's Day Parade and Santa Claus came down at the parade. That was the start of Christmas.
Yeah, you're counting how many paychecks till Christmas.
Right, right, right.
And you can get a couple more in if you start earlier.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yes, and it used to be that when Santa came down here in Midtown Plaza, that was the start of the Christmas shopping season. You never saw you saw him going up that week before because that's when Santa hit. But you didn't really see Christmas until after Thanksgiving. He came down the Friday after Thanksgiving to sit on the Magic Mountain, and that was that's how it worked.
Because
I'm trying to think. I might have sat on Santa's helper's lap when I was a kid.
Yes, you might have. Yes, you might have.
But the thing of it is, though, is...
And that's kind of a scary thing for you and Santa's helper, whoever he may be.
Yep. But I think you're going to see more and more folks looking for the big buys, and I think they're going to be out there for folks.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, watch the flyers because I think big screen monitors are going to be a big thing out there this year.
Yes.
Of course, the iPods.
Yep.
I mean, touch phones and all
those. People may be cutting down on the number of big ticket items they're buying.
Oh, big time.
Right. Just the big screen TV for the whole family and not a bunch of little. My son's birthday was yesterday, and grandma, you know, took him out.
Happy birthday.
Birthday shopping.
Matthew.
Happy birthday, Matthew. He's 10, double digits.
Wow.
So he wanted this $150 Lego thing.
Of course he did.
And so grandma's trying to tell him, you can get one of those or I can get five of these other ones.
Right.
So he went for the one giant one.
Sure, of course
cool.
he did.
Hmm? The other side of this
took
coin
12 hours to put it together. 1,000 pieces.
Nice.
Ooh, got to do that more often.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you rather get a gift from somebody who, way ahead of time, said, that's the perfect gift for Nick or Steve or Chris or Dave, rather than wait till the last minute and say, well, he's going to get this.
Yep.
So
the 7-Eleven that's open on Christmas Eve till midnight.
Yeah, right. My shopping philosophy has always been this. I just have two questions to ask before I'll start shopping. Is it December? Does the date have more than one digit?
Wow.
If the answer to those two questions is yes, I will start shopping.
Now, let's talk about your wife.
She's been shopping all year. She's been, you know, catalogs all year long. But the prompt might, well, no, I really don't wait that long. I really don't. But what I do is I have 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 big things that I buy. But other than that, I spend my time walking the malls and looking for inspiration.
Yeah,
that's
a guy
that's
thing.
How it works.
Yep.
I find something and say, yes, that would be perfect for X.
Yep.
And that's when I buy it. And that's the longest freaking shopping trips on earth. So I have to do them early. Because if I do wait until December,
the crowds
are horrible.
You know where I found was a great place to shop for my kids when they were little? Go to the museum shops.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because you find stuff there. Okay, it's a little pricey. But you'll find stuff there you can't get in the mall or anywhere else.
It's unique. Nobody else is going to get them there.
A learning toy. That's as bad as clothes.
Yeah.
his sister
got
Matthew a new jacket. One must
be selective. Bust one now.
But, you know, I think we're going to see more and more deals, though, especially for the folks in our audience that are looking for the deals for the printers and the screens and the hard drives. There's going
to
be a lot.
We're trying to think of what deals we can offer at my store at Jesse Group for the Black Friday sale. And,
well,
and part of it is... The manufacturers aren't doing that many deals yet, so we have to eat the difference ourselves.
Right, right.
But so they will be out there. Season. I mean, I'm seeing a company called, it's a Buffalo Drive. We've talked about this before. It's
Buffalo technology is getting really aggressive lately.
And you can put those drives hanging out in a network. It's seen like a network drive, so I don't have to have a big keyboard, mouse, and everything else, but it's great storage for backing things up, or if something goes wrong, you can quick plug it into a network and have the files available. Just right. Repoint it to there. And like I say, I've been going through a lot of them lately just because they're inexpensive. I mean, you can get like a 350 gig hard drive at a very good price. You know, it's not the thousands of dollars that, you know, oh, you got to buy a whole new box and it's got to have a processor, it's got to take up a space and all this other stuff. You show them and it's smaller than the old-fashioned lunch boxes.
And it just has to hang off the networks. As long as you got a port in your router, you're good.
Mm-hmm. We've been playing with the Drobo, the Data Robotics chassis. It's a little pricey. It's $500 for an empty chassis, but the design is it's got four SATA bays.
Right.
And a lot of us, especially us techie geeks, have extra hard drives lying around, so you just stick hard drives in it. And it's a RAID 5, but better than RAID, because the drives don't have to be the same size. So you've got a couple of old 250s, a couple of old 160s. You fill it in there. It adds it all up, so it's the four drives minus the big one. So it's complete data redundancy, like a RAID 5. And when one of the drives gets full, a little red light pops on, and which means you're about 20% capacity of that drive. You pull that one out and put the bigger one in. So now there's a 500 gig drive that you bought for the same price. You shove that in there. And then in 6 months, you know, another one gets
empty. That's nice.
You pull that out, put the 750 drive in.
Well, we may have to talk.
It rebuilds itself on the fly.
Yeah.
Because the real nasty thing with setting up a RAID chassis now is it has to be identical sized drives, right. Which is annoying when you want to put a bigger RAID in. So you have four or 500s to get your 2 terabyte drive. Well, now you got to replace all four of those at exactly the same time,
right?
To get a bigger RAID,
right? And then you see like Hot Deals or Woot or whatever has a 300 gig drive. The other one has a 350. The other one has a 400. You think, God, I'd love to buy that. Throw it in my array. Yeah. Oh, wait, I can't.
You can't do that. Yeah. But with the Data Robotics, the Drobo, you can.
Oh, well,
so it's a little expensive for the empty chassis, but their 4 terabyte version is like $1,000, which is a pretty good deal.
Yeah,
and it supports up to 16 terabytes. Although no one makes a 4 terabyte disc yet.
Right.
But
another couple of weeks, they probably
will. Right. Because right now, the biggest single drive is 1.5 terabytes. So there's a 6 terabyte chassis. And they have their Drobulator configuration tool on the website. So you just drag what size drives on it, and it tells you what your total capacity is.
Nice.
Yeah.
One thing, I got to go off on a mini rant.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
Strap yourselves in, ladies and gentlemen.
Without the music and everything else. You know, these folks that go out and get these stupid, idiotic pizza boxes.
Pizza boxes?
Yes, I call
cute.
Them pizza boxes.
Yeah, yes, they're cute. Yes, they're inexpensive.
Yeah,
but
they're maybe, 10 inches by 10 inches by 10 inches?
Yeah.
Just enough that you could pick up and drop kick. And these folks get, I got a great deal on it. And then they bring it in, though, and it's not even a power supply that you can even remotely find that's close.
Yeah, it's a 100-watt power supply, so you can't add that second hard drive you wanted to. Plus, there's no bay for the second hard drive anyway.
And you can't change the video card because the thing isn't high enough to put one in.
Yeah.
You can buy a half-height card at twice the price.
And forgive me, I haven't seen this. Where are these coming from?
I've had a number of clients bringing these in, and like I say, it's like a huge cube, like the Mac cube.
Yeah.
And these things are so proprietary, and then you tell them, what it's going to cost them.
The cubes are made by guys. I thought you were talking about the pizza boxes, which are essentially the size of a Mac.
Apple used to have one. Their 6000 series with a small pizza box, but then they had the 7000 series, which was the big chassis.
Well, I had those two.
So you're talking about the cubes, the shuttle and those.
The cube
and
what I call the pizza boxes. They're maybe 3 inches high, and they're 17 by maybe 15 inches.
Yep.
Are these for rack mounts?
No, these are regular home computers.
They should be for rack mounts.
They're physically very small, and people like that.
And people come in and say, well, what do you mean it's going to cost this much to get this power supply? These things are
It's a special order power supply because it's an odd size, it's an odd shape, and it's going in an odd box.
And I had one woman get
The Mac LC series, the 6100 series. Really,
I had to order a power supply. Guess where it had to come from?
Yeah, a lot of times you have to call the manufacturer.
China.
Yeah.
And she was upset because it was going to take a couple weeks to come from China.
Yeah.
Nobody here locally makes it? No.
Because it's weird.
What do you expect?
We've run into that with compact PCs, the Compact Presario. It's a micro ATX, but the plugs are in a different spot, so you can't just use any micro ATX power supply. You have to buy the one from Compact.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, the E-machines are another ones that sometimes use odd ones.
Yep.
Have to get these stupid, idiotic, small, odd cube, little configurations.
Yeah, people have to stop thinking of all computers as being equal. Just like with cars, There's the top of the end line that you'll drive for 20 years, and then there's the beaters that you buy for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And when you spend $300, $400, $500 for a computer, it's a beater.
Yep.
Get over it. It may last you the winter. It may not. When it's dead, you abandon it on the side of the road and go buy another one.
Well, especially
that's how it works.
Yeah, you get the really, really cheap PCs, the $299, $399. If it breaks, throw it away and buy a new one.
The point.
It's not worth fixing.
Oh, no.
Or put Linux on it.
Yep. Actually, we had gotten an argument.
Oh, excuse me. You said if it breaks.
Yeah, okay. Well, it depends on
what breaks.
Yeah,
right.
What you define break.
Mm-hmm.
We got into an argument last night with a guy who he's trying to do a favor for a friend.
Oh, never. Wow. No good deed goes unpunished.
They don't have much money. They've got an old computer, and can I give him a copy of something? No.
No. Not legally, no.
Not legally, right.
Yes, of course you can.
That's your friend, not mine.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll go on eBay, try to find one. Oh, they don't have any money to buy anything. We'll put Linux on it. Never thought of putting Linux on a Mac. Didn't know you could.
Oh, yeah. We're slick.
He doesn't listen to the show because Chris has been talking about that for years.
Yeah, it works.
A long time. Months.
It works great.
I can edit that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Linux for
five. I'm good.
But yeah. And he didn't remember, younger than me, so it's frightening. He didn't remember that Windows ran on PowerPC.
Right.
It ran so much better than the Intel and even the DEC Alpha chip.
Right.
Microsoft stopped making it for the PowerPC.
Right, right.
Do you get that, though, a lot? I mean, I'll get that, too.
Yeah.
Folks will come in. Well,
it's something old. It's old and they don't sell anymore, so obviously that means I can steal a copy.
Oh, I had one guy that was going to give a guy, he wanted me to fix it all up, and it was an old Windows 95 machine this year.
Wow.
And he was going to give it to a friend, and I says, do you hate him?
Yeah, right.
He looked at me very, well, it's still a good PC. You know, he can still check email on that. I says, not if he's in any big hurry.
Well, yeah, you can check email, and you can also get all of the malicious software that will come through the email won't be protected on.
Well, right.
I've got some information on that. If you have, like, a Windows 95 box that if you can get 64 meg in it,
right,
you can put Linux on it. You got to be selective. You got to use a particular one in a particular way. 64 megs will run Linux just fine.
There are two versions you can use. One is called Puppy Linux. The other is called Damn Small Linux.
Believe it or not, and those are specialized for that purpose, but believe it or not, Debian will work on it.
Yes, it will. Yes, so those are Debian distributions, as a matter of fact, both of them.
Okay.
There's also one called Turbo Puppy, which I haven't had a chance to play with yet. But yeah, if you can get any amount of RAM in them, I've got a 32 meg machine running Damn Small Linux, and it runs it fine, thank you very much.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Well, you know, talking about different things that we're trying to do right now, you know, especially folks are trying to, we're talking about the layaway and everything else. One of our friends, and matter of fact, he's advertised here on our show before, is Visual Horizons or scrapsmart.com. You know, you folks right now are trying to find other things. I had to go over there and check out some of the stuff they got because with my grandchildren, doing up different stuff and that, right, and trying to be creative. And again, trying to save some money. The stuff that they've got, and they just came out with some new CDs, and that's why I was looking for it for my grandson. They got the CD to do up all the stuff for birthday parties, which his is right around Christmas. So kind of tying the two themes together. But he's got a lot of stuff there for being creative, especially with the holidays. You know, if you're trying to come up with making decorations for kids and that, and doing other things that are a little lower end cost, and, you know, not going out and shelling out the big bucks. Because let's face it, nowadays everybody's worried about, am I going to have a job next week? I mean, Xerox saying that they're going to lay off another 3,000. Everybody's being very conscious. So
I think a lot of that might clear up. I've been hearing this on other webcasts too, after the election, because right now there's so much uncertainty. It almost doesn't matter who wins the election, but as long as
we know, uncertainty goes away, right?
Right, yeah, as the uncertainty goes away, we'll be a little more certain ourselves.
Well, it keeps coming on TV and telling us, you know, we're not in too bad a shape. That just makes me wonder how bad a shape we really are. They don't want to say the recession word, which we've been in for quite a while. It's just that President Bush hasn't found out yet.
Nothing
has
changed.
Told them.
They're just shifting the debt. Yeah.
So, right. But, you know, if you folks are looking to save some money in that and be creative, check out this scrapsmart.com. Some real cool stuff there that I found that you'd be surprised.
You buy the CD, you print out the stuff,
you can make costumes and
rainy day games and all kinds of cool
things.
Well,
I did this at Christmas time, too. They had a CD there for Christmas stuff, and the kids were sitting there for hours, you know, trying to keep them busy.
Right.
You know, 5, 6, and 7, 8 year olds.
So you can nurse that hangover.
No, I didn't have a hangover. It's just yelling and screaming. You know,
that gives you a hangover, trust me.
That could, yeah. But yeah, seriously, folks, check it out. I just had a lot of fun there. Just checking and seeing what I could do to create other things and do it on the cheap.
Yeah, and talking about the economy, people are doing all kinds of things. You know, they're saying that the Mac, of course, the dream of that $800 Mac that everybody was looking at, the Mac notebook, that's at least deferred. Well, sure, we never say gone.
We're down to $999.
Yeah, right. But that's
actually we have yesterday models on sale for $950.
Right.
New
right.
in the box, just they're yesterday's models. It's a terrible thing that happens.
That's actually an interesting thing you can do. The folks over at MacAv have a. Do you prefer MacAv to Jesse Group these days? Or
I go back and forth.
Okay.
MacAv and Jesse Group. Our retail store.
Steve goes both ways.
Yep. Steve goes both ways. Call both MacAv and Jesse Group and see if they'll price.
Yeah.
Challenge each other. Depending on who you get, who knows? Right. Who did you call? Those sons of guns. Yeah, I'll give you $50 off.
We've had that happen. someone calls back in like 20 minutes.
Before you go on, for those of you who don't know, Jesse Group, Steve is with the Jesse Group. He's part owner of the Jesse Group. And MacAv is one of their brand names. So they are the same company. Now go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, we've had people do that. They'll call back and they call and ask a question and don't like the answer. And we've told people that when you call tech support and don't like the answer, wait a minute, call back. You'll get a different answer.
Right.
So somebody did this. They called back like 20 minutes later and the same person at our office answered the phone, gave him the exact same answer to the same question. And they said, you're a lot nicer than that other person that answered the phone.
Well, you had your coffee. It kicked in.
I guess.
In your case, Pepsi.
Yeah. Right. It was the same person. It was the same answer, but he liked it that time.
That's very funny.
I guess the second time you hear the same answer, you think it might be right.
Right. Or you're calmer.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. I had a bunch of stories here that I won't read all of, but, you know, they're saying that the high-end laptops this year, the $1,500, $1,800 stuff from the likes of Toshiba and Sony, probably will stick to their courses, to their prices. But you'll see the middle and low-end laptops from Hewlett-Packard and Dell are going to see price drops as we head into the holiday season in an uncertain economy. For example, the average price, according to data culled by the technology research firm IDC, the average price of Windows laptops fell to $894 in the fourth quarter of this year, which is a 7% drop from the same quarter in 2007. IDC estimates that PCs will continue to see price cuts throughout next year, dropping another 9% to an average price of $810 by Q4 of 2009. Now, that's an average price, and most people do underbuy.
Right.
You know, you buy a machine and you don't put enough RAM in it, or you don't get a big enough hard drive, or you skimp on the processor, and then you're porked off for about another 2 years until you can afford to replace it.
You think about when you're buying a car. If you can get it with only three wheels, it will be a little cheaper.
That's right.
Or three cylinders.
That's very good. Yep. That's right. So Windows retailers are battling right now to hit that right price point for the holidays. But, of course, mostly they're battling against each other. Now, Windows laptop pricing doesn't affect Apple very much, nor does Apple pricing affect Windows pricing
right.
very much. But, you know, the prices, the big thing, of course, is that in terms of the Mac, you only have one company to buy it from. They don't have an incentive to lower their prices. Windows people, on the one hand, prices are basically the same for all the OEM parts. You're mm-hmm. all buying the same parts. So what they tend to push are other features like functionality, style, color, sexiness, and other gimmicks, including Dell, who for the holidays, they announced this week that they're teaming up with Universal Music Group to preload some of their new PCs with 50 or 100 song bundles. According to the Dell website, the preloaded music bundles add $25 for 50 songs and $45 for 100 songs to the price of the machine. The bundles range from mixes of blues to classical and classic rock. The company noted that the preloaded music is not available on the Dell XPS 1 desktop or on the Inspiron Mini 9 laptop, which must be their best-selling models, mm-hmm. and therefore they don't need to do it. The bundles aren't supported on systems running Linux or 64-bit versions of XP and Vista. All preloaded music titles come in DRM-free MP3 format.
Wow.
Let me repeat that. DRM-free MP3 format, which means they would work under Linux.
Yes, they
perfectly,
would.
Perfectly, thank you very much.
Well, they don't want to be held accountable if something goes wrong.
Right. And,
do you get to choose the songs, Nick?
No, you get a bundle, and they have the classical bundle.
You
or
choose the
blues
genre.
Bundle. Right,
they
right,
give you
right.
What
and then
they
you
got.
Have a choice of 50 songs for $25 or 100 songs for $45.
Okay.
So I want the 100 song blues bundle. Oh, that's an added $45 on your system.
Okay.
Right.
Rather than the typical $100 at 99 cents per song, which is about the average price.
Right, it's essentially half price.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, and that's, you know, what that means is you can now buy somebody, let's say, you know, I was going to buy my mother a computer. Well, mom loves classical music. For another $45, I give her 100 classical songs. Yeah. Maybe she's a classic rock fan. You know, whatever, whatever. So
whatever it takes.
You can check whatever the bundles are.
Whatever
so all
floats your boat.
Right. Because they're DRM-free and because they're in MP3 format, they can be played on any music player. Dell announced that it plans to expand the music selection and will also refresh their current offerings. Dell, according to Gartner Group, in the third quarter of this year, Dell was in second place in terms of worldwide PC shipment market. In the U.S. alone, though, Dell is number one, coming in over second place Hewlett-Packard. Dell has been working to reshape its sales efforts this year. Late this past January, the company announced it was closing its 140 retail kiosks around the U.S. as it turns its attention to major retail outlets. Instead of using kiosks, Dell began focusing its efforts on selling its product through major retailers such as Best Buy, Walmart, Staples, and Guitar Center. So you should be able to pop into the Guitar Center, buy yourself a Dell loaded with classic rock, and have a very musical Christmas.
I've seen companies that averages out to about a buck a disc will rip your CDs for you. And right. I wonder how they're doing in these tough economic times.
Yeah, right. There's hardly anything easier than ripping a CD. I mean, nowadays you put it in and the first thing that pops up is some program that says, shall I rip this?
Yeah. Just sit there and feed them in.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, another letter from the mailbag is from Kevin. He doesn't give me... yeah, he does. When I turn on my PC on in the morning, at work, and on a network, and the OS is loading, an alphanumeric code is displayed where the start button is. I was wondering if you folks had any idea what it might be. The display code is S124E0113.
Run! Yeah, what's the number again?
S124E0100013.
That's the code that comes up just before it explodes.
S124E.
S.
S124E.
124.
The first hit at Google is
010013.
The first hit from Google is the NASA Space Flight Center web gallery from shuttle mission STS-124, and it was picture number 010013. A nice picture of the space station.
So instead of the start, here's what happened. He's lost the picture for the start button. It's corrupted in some way, and it's displaying a number. If he were to look farther along, he'd see a lot more. So the problem is that individual icon has been corrupted.
The icon has been corrupted.
Right. The icon has been corrupted.
Start icon.
The file for it.
Right. The actual icon itself on his hard drive. Right. Yeah. Exactly. So now, what's his name?
Kevin,
really need to pay attention to this. Icons don't corrupt by themselves.
Right.
I don't know how old this machine is, but I would suggest that you do some maintenance. Like, first, get all of your data backed up twice.
Well, if it's on a company network, I would think...
Well, but it's the machine. It's not loading it from the network.
If he's in a company, though, he might want to call his IT people.
Right.
As to go playing around.
Because that's what it sounds like. That file has been corrupted, and files don't corrupt by themselves. So either there's something wrong with his software or something wrong with his hardware, and that would be the hard drive. So if you've got data on that machine, get it, copy it up to the network somewhere. The whole point of being on a network is you should be saving it on the network anyway. But copy it up to the network somewhere. Yep. Do not leave your data on that machine. Then get your IT people to do a thorough test of the hard drive. Might as well test the memory, but I don't think that's it.
No.
And then reinstall Windows clean on that machine with whatever your load is. You know, every company has a load. You know, they put on Office, they put on SPSS, they put on, you know, whatever they're putting on. Mm-hmm. So
another good reason to have the IT people aware is he may not be the only one infected.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, unless it's an odd virus, something I've never heard of happening before, it's likely that it is some sort of hardware or software problem just with his machine.
But
you're right. It could have been something somebody on the network did, a network administrator loading some new thing to everybody's machine, and he's not the only guy.
Or in a corporate environment, a lot of times computers are all purchased together. So if this one is wearing out due to age,
right,
all the other ones purchased at the same time.
Okay.
Right.
Point.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. He should, you know, back it up and then get his IT people or somebody else involved that can do some analysis on it.
Now, if this were to happen in his home, what should he do, Nick?
Same thing.
Yeah.
He should back up all his data at least twice.
If he can.
If he can. And then take the machine into a reputable dealer like, oh, I don't know, Dave or Steve. And have them do the same kind of diagnostic stuff, maybe reload. But now, if you're a home user and you're bringing your machine to Dave or Steve and asking them to reload Windows on it, you bring your copy of Windows with you.
Mm-hmm.
You bring your copy of Windows with you. Let me say it again. You bring your copy of Windows with you.
And the registration number.
And the registration number.
Well, that's usually inside the machine. But you know what helps even?
Only newer models.
Right.
They used to not do that.
No, what helps even not only bringing the operating system is usually you also get a disk with all the drivers or like the video card, the memory card,
right? All the disks that came with your machine,
which you kept somewhere safe,
together somewhere safe.
We get so many folks that sit there and say, "Well, I don't know where they are. Can't you get them?" Yeah, I can get them, but I'm going to have to charge you extra because now it's going to take time for me to go up to the web, find your particular machine, and download them and install them all.
Yeah, that's so much an hour.
We had a company where it delivered like half a dozen new computers to them, and somebody got deficient and threw away all the boxes.
With all the stuff in it.
The disks and the manuals and the extra cables that they didn't need at that moment and will later.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, we've had
big companies do that at the loading dock. We ran into this real nasty problem where we shipped them a printer. It was a huge, big color laser printer. The people at the loading dock opened the box, ripped it out of the box, put the printer on a pallet, and sent it up to the guy who actually wanted it.
Right.
Turned out he didn't like that model. Bigger story. He said he was doing presentations, so we sold him a solid ink printer, which is really good for PowerPoint presentation. It turns out his presentations are mechanical drawings, which are not good for a solid ink printer, so he changed it for a laser printer. But they didn't have the boxes anymore because the loading dock threw it all away. The very large color laser printer company... charged them $600 for a new empty box to send this $5,000 printer back.
Which is either a minimum charge for them or
probably
it's a custom job.
So they had to buy an empty... Well, they just go to the production line for this machine and pull an empty box off before a printer gets shoved in it.
It's just-in-time manufacturing techniques. They have just enough of those boxes.
So they had to go call down and say, make one more box.
Yep.
Which may have come from... one of their suppliers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they may not make the boxes themselves.
Oh, they definitely don't.
$600 for an empty box so they could ship the printer back so they could buy...
necessarily a ripoff.
Yeah.
And I'm sure shipping was extra.
Yeah, now... and now
to ship the box.
To ship an empty box. Yeah, one of our other customers makes empty boxes, and he's always complaining about he ships truckloads of air.
Yeah.
Because it's an empty box, he's shipping air.
Yep.
Well, as long as he gets good money by the pound.
Okay, we got one more letter here this week from the mailbag, and this is Bill from Rochester. And Bill writes, problem, is it worth running Windows XP inside Vista? I have a PC with Vista Home Premier. I really don't like it. Even though it did not crash for a while, when I purchased this machine in July of 2007, I got blue screens every day for at least a month. Anyways, I would like to run XP, but the CD does not see the hard drive. If I upgrade to Ultimate Vista, I will be able to load and run Windows XP within Vista. Please comment.
That's an interesting idea.
Well, it's certainly doable. It is certainly doable.
It'd be a lot easier just to erase the hard drive and load XP.
Well, what he's saying is XP doesn't see the hard drive.
Which makes me, CD
doesn't see the hard drive.
Which makes me think maybe he's not using a generic retail XP CD.
Well, there's two things here. One is he used to get blue screens every day, and two, the XP CD doesn't see the hard drive.
Yeah.
Putting those two things together tells me there's something not right with that machine.
Yeah, bad hard drive.
And the other thing is some of these machines, especially coming out from Dell and all that, they don't have the drivers for XP.
Right.
Some of these newer Dells, you can't go backwards. They've literally made it so the equipment that they're using in them is not backwards compatible from Vista to XP. Right.
Nonetheless, this listener wants to get this accomplished for his own reasons.
Well, he wants to run XP and Vista.
You can do that. You can buy a product like Parallels or VirtualBox or any one of those and then use your Vista machine strictly as a host for the virtual servers you run. Then you could run two or three Windows machines and a Linux machine and everything else if you have enough RAM and enough processor power.
Lots of RAM.
You want at least
4 gig.
At least, well, yeah. You want
2 gigs
at least
for each, a gig, each guest OS.
A yeah. minimum of a yeah. gig for each guest OS.
Right.
And a minimum of the equivalent of one processor. So if you've got a dual core machine with 3 gig of RAM, because pay attention, the host operating system needs a gig, and each of the two you're going to run needs a gig. So if you've got a dual core system with 3 gigs of RAM, you can run two hosted virtual systems. If you have a quad core processor, you can happily run three and maybe four. Because don't forget, the host machine is going to want some cycles, although if the virtualizing is done correctly, most of that hides in the background.
Now, if he doesn't have this powerful machine, dual boot?
If he could get the thing to...
Yeah.
The problem is now going to be Vista's already on the machine.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
XP will not recognize Vista
yeah.
in order to
going
allow
backwards.
The machine to be dual booted.
Right. So it's a
going.
He's
got to
do it by
from,
hand.
Going
course.
From Vista, I mean XP to Vista, that would be a different issue,
right? And he's got to do all of that by hand. And we've already said the XP disk doesn't recognize the hard drive,
mm-hmm.
so there's no drivers.
What could be special about the
it,
drive?
It could be if it's a new computer, it could be a SATA drive.
No, a drive
right. and he could be using an old XP disk that has no SATA driver on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Right.
In fact, if anyone, no one ever pays attention, but when you load Windows, there's that first screen that says loading drivers.
Yeah.
And if you have to load any additional drivers, press F6.
Because if the CD doesn't right. have it on it quite often, and yep. folks don't realize
if
it.
If you have a SCSI hard drive or an ESA hard drive, remember ESA?
Floppy disk.
Yep.
Or another CD now, because more and more machines aren't coming with the floppies.
Right.
It's coming with an additional CD that has the SATA drivers on it.
I remember an old AST computer we were trying to do. Every device had its own floppy driver. So we're trying to load Windows, and it said, you want to load additional drivers? Okay, the hard disk driver, the Ethernet driver, the video card driver, the motherboard chipset driver. What
it
else?
Sounds
the sound
like
card driver,
kernel.
The modem driver. Yeah. And everyone had its own separate disk, and of course the customer couldn't find two of them, so we're
right.
digging
That's
around.
That's one thing that I can remember back when Windows finally came out on CD.
Yeah, it was one CD or 65 floppies.
Yeah, right. I can remember right. loading Windows 3.1.1 workgroups for Windows, and I had the stack
yep.
of disks.
And floppy 27 was bad.
Yes!
Always.
Yes!
Right. Every
and
single time.
That, and it's like, damn! I've been sitting here for all these freaking hours, and this one craps out.
Right.
There was a cool little device add-on that you could buy for mass formatting floppies. Remember when floppies didn't come pre-formatted?
Right, right.
And it worked on the Mac because the Mac will auto-inject and auto-eject a floppy, where you didn't have to push the button, the computer would spit it out itself. So it was a little robot thing that hung on the front of your floppy drive. And when your Mac spit the disk out, it would grab it, pull that one out, drop into a container, and then the next
right.
disk would come down in the pile, and the little arm would push it back into the floppy.
There used to be a separate box you could buy, a separate device
yep.
for DOS that did the same
yep,
thing.
Multi-formatting
wow.
floppies.
Right. It's like loading a magazine,
yep.
right, and it just pops them
and
all
so
in and
out. So you
could
do that when you were installing these multi-disk installs. You just put your 30 Windows disks in the hopper, and then you only had to come back every 20 minutes to put more disks in the hopper.
yeah. Right.
Like
CDs, too. You they do that now with CDs. That's so cool.
I just loved it when CDs came out, though. There was such a pleasure. Just pop it in. Oh,
yep.
this was so much easier.
Yep. Now there's whole operating systems that require DVDs.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
you can get Linux distributions that only come on DVDs because
yes,
they load
right.
so much stuff. But really, the reality is that you know what? Sometimes one of the reasons that a Vista machine might be so inexpensive comparatively is because it is so proprietary that they know they own you. And you can't do anything else with it without going back to the manufacturer. Now, you might be able, what's this guy's name? You might be able to go back to the manufacturer and
this was Bill from Rochester.
Bill.
For an extra fee, pay for
an
yeah.
extra fee, exactly. And get XP device drivers.
I don't
for
know
machine.
Because he's saying that he bought this in July of 2007. So that's over a year old.
Yeah, and that's a long time in the computer world.
I mean, to sit there
it can't hurt to call and ask.
No.
Have your serial number, which is on the back of your machine. Have your serial number when you call the manufacturer and say, this is what I want. They may, in fact, be willing to sell you a working copy of XP that works on that machine, which they can still legitimately do.
Right.
The other part of the question is, where is that XP disk from, and can you legally load that onto your new machine? I don't know, because I don't know what your situation is.
Well, if they sell it to him.
But the one he's got in his hand right now.
What some manufacturers are doing right now is, and I know with my distributors too, is they offer right now a Vista package, but with an XP, what they call downgrade. I call it an upgrade.
Yeah.
And you get this Vista CD, in case you want to move on up to Vista, which nobody wants to. They want to go to System 7. But it still has a license number that is also valid for XP.
Right.
So you can pick at installation time. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're getting both. They've
done that over the years. I remember machines that had 98 or NT on them, or you know, ME or 2000, and you pick at your first boot which OS you wanted to run.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, that's a direction that they're going to go. So
one of the computer magazines, Linux Format or one of those, had a DVD in there that had three or four Linux distros on it. And a menu, which one do you want to install, which is kind of cool.
That's neat.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, my suggestion to you is to get that serial number off the back of your machine, Bill. Call the manufacturer of that computer and see if they will sell you a disk with XP on it, which theoretically then will not only recognize the hard drive so you can install it, but will already have all of the drivers for all of the devices on that machine so that you are ahead of the game. Can't hurt to ask.
No, and how much time and complications does he really want to get into right now? If he's got it running halfway decent, you know, he's gone through the pain and suffering of going through all those blue screens for all those months. If it's running,
there's no guarantee that XP won't crash. Every computer is going to crash. Period.
Like I say, you might need some further investigation just to see what's going on with it, because it could, like you say, be more than just the operating system. There could be some hardware issues.
Right.
As a semi-pseudo geek, one solution might be keep the existing hard disk the way it is and then make another disk
Get another hard drive.
Another hard drive and swap your hard drive
based on
what system you want to run.
Yep, that may work. All right, folks, this seems to have brought us to the end of another webcast hour of Soundbites. This show by the time you hear it, either is or has been aired at about 1 o'clock on the 26th. It's of course going to be on the podcast. Chris Reich does just an unbelievable job grabbing these things and cleaning them up and fixing them. It does way, way beyond reasonable.
We've caught up.
What?
We've caught up with the
podcast. We're caught up, so this will be up soon.
And we got to remind folks again, you know, you said this at the beginning of the hour, to join us this Friday in Second Life for our Halloween party.
Yep.
We're actually asking folks to come in costume. We're going to give out prizes. $100 Linda dollars for the first prize, $50 for second, and $25 for third. I've already got the island pretty well decorated, so, you know, come on, join the fun, and I think we should have a good time.
All right, that's it. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich. I'm Nick Francesco. We are Soundbites. Thanks for listening.
Bingo. Perfect.